You know, we see these fiscal reports drop, or we hear about surplus announcements in the state of Connecticut, but a lot of times the average person really doesn't have a great understanding of what exactly this means and just how much money we're talking about and how significant it is. So joining us today is Comptroller Sean Scanlon, our fiscal watchdog in the state of Connecticut. And I want to start, Comptroller Scanlon, with your projections of substantial state budget surpluses for the general and special transportation funds. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. We appreciate it.
Good morning, and thanks for always giving me the tough assignment of trying to explain really hard math at 7:30 a.m.
You're welcome. Listen, you can always count on me for that. I'm good at that, Comptroller Scanlon. I'm good at that, and you're good at breaking down fiscal reports, so I'm going to have you do that. I did see, I think it was in Connecticut News Junkie, don't quote me on that, though. It was saying that these were very significant state budget surpluses for both the general and special transportation funds. Talk to us about it. Break down some of this money and what it means for people.
Well, yeah. So as a recap for folks, in 2017, we passed some adjustments to the way we budget and changed how we do things in Hartford. And as a result of that, we have now had 6 consecutive years of ending our fiscal year, which ends on June 30th every year, with a surplus. And while that surplus has never really changed, it was going down for a few months. But this month, we announced that surplus actually shot up because of enhanced revenue collection. And
what
that really,
mean?
Melissa,
yeah,
what that's not really you or I, or probably a lot of your listeners. That's very wealthy people who live down in Fairfield County who pay their taxes quarterly, unlike all of us or most of us who pay them every April. When the stock market is really good, as it is right now, we get a surge of revenue. And so our surplus projection had about $120 million positive jump this year. And we predicted that we will end the fiscal year, which ends in about 6 months, with another surplus for the 7th consecutive year.
Wow. I mean, and when I say significant numbers, it's no joke. I mean, according to this forecast I'm reading here, it says you're projecting state budget surpluses of $190 million and $149 million again for the general and special transportation funds at the end of the fiscal year, like you said, ending June 30th. Those are substantial amounts.
It's about in line where we've been, Melissa. You know, we've had about a $200 million surplus the last couple fiscal years ending it. And that is a lot of money to you and I. But in the grand scheme of a almost $23 billion budget, it's actually a small fraction of the overall budget. And so, you know, it's a sign that we continue to go in the right direction, that we've gotten our fiscal house in order. But as I am talking to a lot of people about these days, we have to make sure that while the state has made a lot of progress and we've gotten our fiscal situation to be better, there's a lot of people in the state who are struggling right now. And I think our challenge for 2025 is how do we get the people of Connecticut to share and feel the state's fiscal progress. And I think that's going to be a topic of conversation during the next legislative session.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And Comptroller Scanlon, I think you probably know where I'm going to go with this next one. I'm already hearing rumblings about the fiscal guardrails, which you and I have talked about more times than I'd like to count. But of course, this is always sort of a divided topic every legislative session, whether or not you sort of mess with those. Now, I know you and Governor Lamont have both said, don't touch them. And I'm wondering if you feel the same way.
Yeah, look, we passed these guardrails in 2017. They expired in 2023. The legislature unanimously voted about a year and a half ago to re-extend them for 5 more years. And it's not a simple thing to tweak them, because how we lock them in for 5 years is something called the bond covenant, which basically, whenever we take out a bond, which the treasurer does all the time, there's a promise within that bond that we're not going to mess with the guardrails. And so it's not an easy thing to just say, hey, we got to change this up. But I also think that at the end of the day, people don't really want to get rid of the guardrails. They just want to find more money for their priority. For some Republicans, that's more tax cuts. For Democrats, that's more tax cuts and more spending for things like education and healthcare and higher education. I think there's a way to do all of those things and continue our fiscal, sort of stewardship of the state. And I think that as the next couple months play out, we've got some big milestones coming up. So the session comes in January. The governor presents his budget in February. We'll have a better sense of what the revenue numbers look like. We'll have a better sense of what happens with the economy once President Trump returns to office. Does he do things like tariffs that might change the economy, right? There's so many things that are going to play out over the next few months. And what I'm telling people right now is we're going in the right direction. I do understand that there are needs out there that we have to meet, and I'm confident that we can keep going in the right direction and meet those needs and continue Connecticut's progress.
And Comptroller Scanlon, another thing that dropped yesterday, two reports released by the state detailing some, you know, significant impacts to the long-term health of Connecticut's pension funds for retired state workers. What can you tell us about that? I mean, I saw the release came from a joint statement from you, the treasurer, as well as the governor. But again, you know, might feel very complicated or a lot. Can you simplify it a little bit for us?
Yeah. So Connecticut's got some of the biggest pension debt in the country, because for the better part of 70 years, both people in my party, the Democratic Party, and the Republican Party, kicked the can, didn't put aside the money that they were supposed to put aside, didn't even put the bare amount that they were supposed to put aside. And as a result, we have this massive debt hanging over our necks. And myself and other people don't want our kids to inherit that mess. And so as part of that 2017 reform, we basically started accelerating our debt payments. And as a result of that, we have now paid off $8.5 billion of that debt in just 6 years. And as a result of that, and some changes that the treasurer, my friend Eric Russell, has made to get a better ROI on our investments, what we announced 2 days ago was that our pension funded ratio had reached 55%. Now, nobody wants a medal for getting to 55%. If your kid or my kid came home and they got 55% score out of 100, we'd say, hey, keep working. But compared to where we were 6 years ago, the plan was funded at 38%. And it has not been at 55%, Melissa, because you and I are the same age, since we were in high school.
Yeah, okay? Which is wild. So yep.
This has been a long time coming. And we are slowly digging ourselves out of the hole, which is why the governor and the treasurer and I talked about this the other day, because we want folks to know that we're making progress. But I want folks to know what that progress means for them, because as I talk about all the time, as we talk about, these numbers are sort of like really abstract and has this impact my life. Here's how it impacts your life. Because of that 55%. It's a good thing for short term, because we have freed up $737 million of additional money in next year's budget that we can use to fund priorities like cutting taxes or investing in our schools. That is money that would not be there if we hadn't been rapidly decreasing our debt. The second thing, perhaps the most important thing for me, is to go back to where I started, which is, I don't want my kids to inherit the same mess that I inherited as an adult. And we announced that $18 billion will be saved between now and 2049 because of the work that we've done. So that's $18 billion less that my kids will have to pay in taxes when they become adults and they want to start their family or start a business or start their life here in Connecticut. And so the more we can get rid of this millstone around our neck, we can free up for future generations to make the kind of investments that people want to make. And I know there's this conversation happening in my party about, you know, we're doing too much on the past. We need to focus on the present. My argument is, if we do not keep focusing on getting rid of the past problems, we can never solve the problems in the present or the future. Mm-hmm. Let's clear the deck. Let's get out from under the mess that we've been in, And then we can be free and clear to focus on this. And we will have more money to do it because of our fiscal responsibility.
I mean, it's not the exact same, but the analogy of you got to put your mask on before you give the oxygen mask to your kids. I mean, we have to clear it, right? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me is we could just keep kind of creating a mountain of garbage, or we could just start to eliminate it so that by the time our children are now parents, they don't have to inherit something that we've had to, which wasn't our fault.
Take your medicine is not a fun political campaign slogan, right? Nobody is clamoring to, cheer me on and retweet me when I say, oh, we're paying down our pension debt, right? It's more exciting to fund a tax cut or a new program. And I get it. I want to do all those things.
Right.
But we can't do that, to your point, unless we put our mask on first. We cannot help other people unless we help ourselves first. And that's a tough message that people don't want to hear, but it's the right one. And frankly, I think it's the one that the people of Connecticut want us to be focused on, because I think they get it.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, Comptroller Scanlon, because I know you have a busy morning and we have to jump over to traffic and weather. Did I hear you on News 8 maybe a week or two ago talking about campaign potentially? Are you going to run for governor? Did I hear you say that? Maybe.
What I said on that show was that I think the governor should run again for governor, because I think he's done a really good job and I have really enjoyed working with him on a number of big projects. But the follow-up question was, okay, well, if he doesn't run, would you run? And the answer to that is I would be very interested to run for governor at some point. I have seen firsthand working with him the power of that job to get stuff done and move the needle on things that I care about. And I don't know what the future will hold, and I don't know whether that might be in a couple years or many years down the road. I've got time. As my wife always reminds me, I'm a young guy. And life has twists and turns that nobody can predict. But in terms of, my desire to make this state a better place, there's no better position through which that you can do that than to be the governor. And we'll see what the governor decides, and we'll see what the future holds. But as everything in life, I take it one day at a time, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we will definitely see what happens. Comptroller Sean Scanlon, thank you for always making the time to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it.
No problem, Melissa. Talk to you.
All right. Sounds good.